Well, I honestly believe that 500 years from now, church historians will look back at our times right now in the Catholic Church, and they will just say, wow, this is one of the most fascinating periods in church history. I mean, honestly, we live in the wildest of times. If you have studied church history extensively, you would know, yeah, our current situation is pretty wild. I mean, I can't say that there hasn't been, you know, a constant series of problems in the Catholic Church, but it does seem like we're in unique times, or at least it feels that way because we're up close to it and we're able to document nearly everything with social media and immediate access through the internet. Okay, well, why am I talking about this? Well, in a really odd turn of events here, I'm still processing this news. The nuns in Texas, Arlington, Texas, the story that I've been covering for over a year now, the nuns have decided to sue. Redefine that, not necessarily sue, but seek a restraining order against the bishop, their bishop, Bishop Olson, and a restraining order against the Carmelite Association that the Vatican just put in charge of them and gave them jurisdiction of the monastery, meaning that they are trying to get the law to back them up with a restraining order so that their legitimate superiors cannot step foot in the monastery. So both defying the local bishop and the Vatican. I don't know how anyone in their right mind could still think that this is a group of Catholic nuns. As I've been saying, this is not Catholic. This is schismatic to the core. This is the definition of schism. And this just makes it way worse. I'm just speechless at this point. Let me read this article to you. Pulling it up now. Here it is. This was just written by Taylor Arnold earlier today. Defiant Texas nuns seek restraining order against Bishop Carmelite Association. This is put out by Catholic News Agency. In direct defiance of a Vatican decree, a Texas monastery of cloistered nuns is asking a judge to grant a restraining order against the parties the Vatican has tasked with overseeing the monastery, an association of Carmelite monasteries and Diocese of Fort Worth, Bishop Michael Olson. This is just as Looney Tunes as it gets. I mean, I'm sorry. It's very hard at this point for me to take this seriously. In the chat, M defends a do papa. I like your name. Says, honestly, this is becoming cult-like behavior. Yeah. Well, at the very least, it's certainly beyond schismatic. I mean, what do you say to this? This is just, wow. Wow. It continues, the request filed by the Monastery of the Most Holy Trinity in Arlington on Monday came just days after the Vatican issued a decree concerning the governance of the monastery. That decree entrusted the monastery to the Association of Christ the King in the United States, an association of Carmelite monasteries. It named its president Mother Mary as the lawful superior of the monastery, but they are seeking a restraining order against poor old Mother Mary. Mother Mary is not welcome to come there, evidently. The decree also ordered the monastery to regularize its relationship with the bishop with whom the nuns have feuded over the past year and attempted to sue. If the District Court of Tarrant County grants the monastery request, it would prevent Olson, Mother Mary, and any representatives of the diocese or the association from entering the premises. Look, we're past that point. I'm sorry, we're past that point. Look, all due respect, Bishop Olson, Vatican, anybody's listening, all due respect, we're way past this point. Regardless of how this restraining order pans out, time to excommunicate. Time to just cut the ties. Cut the ties. Would you still really want to go to this monastery? So let's say this is thrown out, okay? Let's say that the judge says, yeah, I have no jurisdiction here, and this is unfounded, so I'm throwing this out. Bishop Olson, I mean, would he really still want to go there and have a conversation with them? I sure wouldn't. If I were a bishop, I would be moving to have to excommunicate them for this. Absolutely. And if I were Mother Mary of the or their current superior, I don't blame her if she wouldn't also want to step foot there with or without a restraining order. So it's time. Look, the thing is done. This monastery was done when they rejected the Vatican's decree. I mean, really, it was done when they defied the bishop. But they have napalmed their chances of really regularizing their community whenever they defied the Vatican. And this just, I don't know, this is just like dropping an atomic bomb on discussions with the bishop and the Vatican and regularizing their situation at this point. So I don't even know why it would be necessary to see how this pans out. I think that it's pretty clear what the bishop and the Vatican should be doing in this case. I mean, how long are we going to let this one go? I mean, you've given them way too much leeway. Time to do something. Look at the gaslighting here in the chat. I think you need to stop mocking and do better research on the subject. These are not excommunication issues. Okay. All right. You don't think it's a schismatic act to say that the lawful superior can't come to the monastery and we're going to defy the lawful superior both on the local level and at the Vatican on the universal level? Have you ever read canon law? Schism is an automatic excommunication. The bishop doesn't even have to decree it. They're already excommunicated for schism because clearly this is a schismatic act. What kind of gaslighting is this? I just, wow. My head hurts. Before filing for the restraining order, the nuns indicated their intent to defy the Vatican's decree, which Pendulum and others seem to think is perfectly legitimate, labeling it a hostile takeover that we cannot in conscience accept. Well, I guess if you pull the conscience card, you can do anything, right? Well, you know, my conscience says it's totally fine to contracept, right? We've heard this conscience thing before. My conscience says that the Pope is the Antichrist and the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. We've heard this deal with conscience before, haven't we? And warned Mother Mary and the association that they are not welcome there. The dispute between the diocese and the monastery began in April of last year when Olson launched an investigation into the former prioress, Reverend Agnes Gerlach, over alleged sexual misconduct with a priest that she admitted to in an audio recording that I've played on this channel. Make of that whatever you will. The prioress, who was defrocked by the bishop, admitted to sexual conduct occurring through the phone and through video chats, but later recanted her confession and claimed she was medically unfit and recovering from an operation when it was given. Still doesn't check out. That doesn't get out of the fact that in the audio recording, she was perfectly lucid and admitted to this. So yeah, I'm not buying it. The situation escalated when the monastery filed a lawsuit against the bishop, accusing him of illegally seizing property from the nuns during the investigation. The claim was later dismissed by a judge. So they've already gone to the law before. This was thrown out. The claim was later dismissed by the judge. The Vatican originally granted the bishop the role of pontifical commissary, which they disputed. And then the bishop immediately produced receipts. You'll notice over and 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 over. The nuns make claims that are bogus, don't produce receipts. And over 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 and over, the bishop makes claims and produces receipts. Make of that whatever you will. Which gave him temporary governing authority over the nuns, but the monastery never recognized that authority. Now, Michael Anderson, a lawyer representing the diocese, listen to this, said in a statement provided to CNA that the monastery's argument in its request for a restraining order is basically a rehash of the lawsuit filed last year. Remember the one that was thrown out, which was dismissed by a judge. He said the only new part of this filing is the addition of the Carmelite Association that the Vatican has now placed over them. And he says the Arlington nuns' decisions to file a lawsuit on this basis is squarely at odds with an affidavit filed in the first lawsuit wherein Miss Gerlach testified that the monastery only answers directly to the Pope. even though the Pope has put, again, Olson over them. But now, whenever the Pope, through his dicastery, has spoken, they don't like it. And so they're seeking a restraining order. Apparently, he says, this no longer applies since the catalyst for this new lawsuit was a decision by the Holy See. So when they don't like what the local bishop says, they go for a lawsuit. When that doesn't work, they try to appeal with the Vatican. When the Vatican says, yeah, no, and shuts it down, they say, we're not listening to the Vatican again, and we're going back to the law. this has become comical. The restraining order makes legal arguments against the bishop and the association and includes an affidavit signed by Gerlach, again, who has already been dismissed. But for some reason, the nuns are still wanting her to be the prioress. Now, Gerlach, whom the Vatican no longer recognizes as the monastery's legitimate superior. In its request for a restraining order, the monastery states that Olson attempted to take over full governing powers and full governing responsibility of the monastery. To use Olson's terms that he gave in that audio file to Miss Gerlach, I'll just quote him. We have a problem in telling the truth. That was his statement that he made to Miss Gerlach. We seem to have a problem in stating the truth. and I think that bleeds over into the whole situation with the entire monastery at this point, or at least those who are responsible for this. We have a problem in speaking the truth. It is now said. It said that now the Association of Christ the King of the United States is seeking to take over management of the monastery under the guise of some religious back door. This is insane. Although the bishop's authority was recognized by the Vatican and the association's authority was decreed by the Vatican, the monastery states that it is a legal nonprofit corporation that is protected under the laws of the state of Texas. It states that neither the bishop nor the association has any legal authority to govern the monastery according to state law. The monastery asserts that both the bishop and the association are trying to utilize a religious backdoor to usurp the laws of the state of Texas to take over the management and assets of the monastery. Why are they so concerned about assets and property and seem to really throw away communion with St. Peter, his successor, and the local bishop? That should be a red flag. Nuns that are Sue happy. It's not right. There's something wrong here. Well, I highly recommend y'all go and listen to the audio. Let me see what I have it listed as on the channel. It is called Nuns versus Bishop Audio Admission. Y'all need to go and listen to that. It is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Now, I am going to shift over into some other news about a new document that's coming out by the DDF here in just a minute. So stay tuned right after this message.
Hey, friends, I'm now teaching as an adjunct professor at Catholic Polytechnic University, and I am excited to announce that we will be offering the first ever Magisterial Studies Certificate Program. It consists of three courses: an Introduction to the Magisterium, Councils, Dogmas, Canons, and Decrees, and Evaluating Magisterial Teachings. If you want to further your education and learn more about Catholic teaching authority, this is the program for you. Check out CatholicPolytechnic.org and click on the Certificate tab at the top to sign up for the course today. Are you a Catholic thinking about converting to Eastern Orthodoxy? Or are you a Protestant discerning whether or not to become Catholic or Eastern Orthodox? If so, I have the book just for you. It's called Answering Orthodoxy, and engages all of the arguments that Eastern Orthodox use against the Catholic Church. I respond to all of them. I show that they are in error, and in fact, they're inconsistent, because the things that Orthodox are objecting to are in fact found in their own tradition. So the fullness of the faith can only be found in the Catholic Church. Check out the book right now at shop.catholic.com for your copy today.
By the way, I found the quote from Bishop Olson. I actually made it a short a while back. Here's what he said that I found to be quite hilarious. This is Bishop Olson speaking to Mother Gerlach when she admitted to certain inappropriate acts via the phone. Check this out.
And you've changed the story
a little bit, Bishop.
Yeah. We have a hard time with the truth.
That part made me laugh when I heard it, because he said, yeah, well, you've changed your story several times. And she says, yes, Bishop. Yeah, we have a hard time with the truth. That sums up the whole monastery at this point right there. We have a hard time with the truth. From now on, I think they need to be called the Texas Nuns, the Hard Time with the Truth Texas Nuns. I need to hear this again. Hold on.
That's something you've changed the story
a little bit, Bishop.
Yeah. We have a hard time with the truth.
Oh. he went there. He said, you've changed your story. We have a hard time with the truth. He said that so much nicer than I would have. I need to take some lessons from Bishop Olson here. I'm going to start talking like this. I'm trying to see if I have some more of the audio played in this short. Hold on.
Well, I think you have some problems with articulating the truth.
Goodness. Okay.
And Bishop, the truth is, he was not down here.
Well, we'll have time for that in the investigation.
I promise you.
Okay.
And I'm sure his side of the story will come out. We'll find out more there. So, she's saying now that it wasn't in person, but she said it was consensual. She said it was
down here.
That's something you've changed the story
a little bit, Bishop.
Yeah, we have a hard time with the truth.
That's what I need to do from now on. I like his approach. He's not the overbearing tyrant that they made him out to be. he was as nice as possible. Yeah, we've had a hard time with the truth. That's what I need to start saying to everybody from now on, whenever they start coming up with all kinds of wild and untruthful accusations. Oh, boy, I can't. I mean, you know what? It was a little frustrating following this story for a while, but at this point, it's just become comedy hour. How in the world? does anyone think that this is right? There will still be people who will come and gaslight us and tell us, oh, this is Catholic, and then this is perfectly legitimate. And yeah, sure. Irish and Scottish says, that was the I'm disappointed dad tone. Yeah, basically. I'm just so disappointed in you. We have a hard time with the truth. He was just so much nicer than I would have been to them. All right, shifting gears here. Taking a hard turn. Cardinal Fernandez, new document on discerning apparitions being finalized. We needed this document. We need it. Good job. Because how many wacky and wild fake apparitions are people trying to throw our way in the last, I don't know, few years? Wacky, wacky stuff. Before I read the document, I'll tell you a little story. I wanted to prove how ridiculously gullible some people are and have become when it comes to these apparitions, that I made a video with the most outlandish, over-the-top claims about a fake apparition. I even told people this is not a real apparition. So I tell them it's not a real apparition. I make the wildest claims about it to show that clearly I'm joking and this isn't real. And yet, probably a good over 100,000 people still believed it was real. Even though I told people this is just a joke, this is satire, and I'm making it as ridiculously over the top as possible to prove a point that no matter how ridiculous you can make the claim, no matter how much you can tell people this is satire, they'll still believe it. Because it tickles their ears and tells them what they want to hear. So we needed this. Mark says, oh yeah, the Louisiana Gator apparition. Our Lady of Monroe. Yes. Yes. You can literally straight up tell people this is satire. This is a joke. This isn't real. And people will still believe it. There's a problem when the situation is that extreme. So we definitely need this document. Cardinal Fernandez, new document on discerning apparitions being finalized. The last time the Vatican's doctrinal office issued a general document on apparitions was 1978. What? Almost 50 years ago. Yeah, a little outdated. This was during the final months of the pontificate of Paul VI. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith is putting the finishing touches to a new document that sets out clear rules on discerning apparitions and other such supernatural events. Yes. Yes. Thank goodness. Hopefully, this will bring some sanity back to these discussions. The Dicastery's Prefect Cardinal Fernandez told Register April 23rd that he and his staff are in the process of finalizing a new text with clear guidelines and norms for the discernment of apparitions and other phenomena. I have an honest question. Why weren't the other prefects getting this job done? Honest question. Why is it that, what, in just a few months, Fernandez has accomplished more than several of his predecessors? Why is that? It's pretty odd, right? Pretty odd. I've covered on this channel how many documents that have been released under Fernandez and how they have tackled so many issues that needed to be addressed. And I just honestly wonder, why wasn't this done under Mueller or Ladario? Like, what was going on then? Honest question. The cardinal, who met with Pope Francis in private audience on Monday, did not divulge any further details on the document, nor exactly when it will be published. The last time the Vatican's doctrinal office issued a general document on apparitions was 1978. And its norms regarding the manner and proceedings in the discernment of presumed apparitions or revelations, the then Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, headed by Cardinal Sepper outlined the process that the Catholic Church follows when investigating alleged apparitions or revelations. The document stated that the Church's responsibility is to first judge the facts, then permit public devotion if the examination is favorable, and finally make a judgment on the authenticity and supernatural character of the event. All right. I mean, where are we at with Medjugorje on that one, by the way? Just curious. The document outlined the positive and negative criteria for judging the authenticity of such phenomenon and when and how competent ecclesiastical authorities should be involved, including eventually the Holy See. It stressed that extreme prudence should be used when investigating facts. The most recent Vatican document regarding apparitions was issued in 2001, and then Congregation Divine Worship and Discipline and the Discipline of the Sacraments in a directory on popular piety and the liturgy. The congregation drew on the catechism and its references to private revelation. The catechism notes, guided by the magisterium of the church, the sensus fidelium knows how to discern and welcome in these revelations whatever constitutes an authentic call of Christ or his saints. Pius X also touched on apparitions in Pascendi, in which he states that the church exercises great prudence in this matter. In an entry on private revelations in 1913, the Encyclopedia, Catholic Encyclopedia stated that private revelations are constantly occurring among Christians and that when the church approves them, it declares only that there is nothing contrary to the faith in it, but it does not impose an obligation to believe them. Well, I mean, that's true. I just kind of wonder how it works whenever we have an entire feast surrounding one of these private revelations. Honest question, how does that work whenever it has entered a liturgical calendar and has its own feast day? Anyways, so yeah, that is coming, y'all. I'm looking forward to it. I wholeheartedly welcome it, as I think all of us should. Very timely. I wonder how people will react to it. I wonder if they will follow it or if they will just push back on it and try to create some point of discontinuity between it and the 1978 document and attempt to dismiss it. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, let's hope and pray that the situation with the nuns is regularized. I don't know how to fix this issue at this point. I don't know if it can be fixed at this point, but hey, God can always perform a miracle. So let's pray for them. Let's certainly pray also that this document is well written and that it aids the church in this time that desperately needs it. I love Kefas's comment here in the chat. I'm late. What did I miss? Well, you missed everything. A whole lot. You missed the whole show. We're at the end. Yeah, you might want to go ahead and check out the beginning. I think you'll enjoy this one. Let me know what you think about it when you do. Everybody hit the like button and the subscribe button. And of course, if you want to support the channel, patreon.com/reasonandtheology or reasonandtheology.locals.com. Got a new locals page, so check that out. You'll get access to extra content either through Patreon or locals. All right. See you later. God bless.
Hey, friends. Do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com.